past nine is the time. It was the great Aussie dream, wasn't it, to have the quarter acre block, maybe even the Hills Hoist out the back, and it was a sign that you had made it in society, at least to the middle class, I suppose. Well, my next guest is here to not ruin your dreams, but suggest that the quarter acre block, as we know it, as we've always known it, well, its days seem to be numbered. Business futurist Morris Mizalowski can explain more. Morris, good morning. You're here to shatter our dreams, are you?
Good morning, Phil. No, not shatter them, just change them.
Rightio. Realign our dreams. What makes you say that the quarter acre block's days are numbered?
The quarter acre block really hasn't been around as we've known it for the last 10 or 15 years. A lot of the developments that are being built are being built on far smaller blocks than the quarter acre. And especially back into cities, we're seeing a lot of mixed residential apartment type dwelling. As we always talk about, this is not to say that every quarter acre block is going to disappear. But the reality is that we are a growing population. It also costs so much money to buy a house now. There are just so many things that are competing to say that the quarter acre block, which was once the way that we proved that we've succeeded in life, just isn't as attainable as it once was, and we're moving on to do other things.
Now, is this particularly more in the metropolitan areas, or are you talking about regional Australia as well?
It's starting off in metropolitan, and it's going to move its way through to regional. At the moment, southeast Queensland's doing really well. Sales are up, block sizes are still okay, but we're finding that's going to change. At the moment, we're looking at a population increase in Queensland of about 104,000 people each year between now and 2056. On the bottom side, we're looking at a population which is moving from somewhere around 6 mil to about 7.5, and on the top side, up to about 11 million is the top side prediction around 2056 for population. That's a lot of people to put in place.
It is. And are we at the advantage in some ways then of being able to look at other cities around the world who have experienced population growth and copy what they do?
I think we are. I'm not sure whether we should copy it entirely. Look, Australia still has a lot of great space. It's not that we don't have enough land, but we know that historically 80% of the population has wanted to live within an hour and a half of our coast. And that's not true for many other places on the planet. We love our beaches, our sunshine, and we should have them, and we deserve to have them. But if we're going to hug that closely to the coast all the way around, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. So there are some things we can learn from other countries, but our lifestyle's different.
Morris Mizalowski, my guest. Morris, what will we live in then, instead of our standard quarter-acre block home?
I don't think there's going to be one particular formula. I think there's going to be many of them. So a quarter-acre block, yes, for some, but we'll move into smaller homes that will do more. We're also going to move into multi-generational homes too, which is something that perhaps we could learn from other people. It's very much a European or an Asian philosophy of more than one generation living together. And a lot of my home developer clients are already beginning to put a couple of those housing options onto the board. And the reality for that is economics, it's demographics, it's the reality that kids are staying at home longer than they did before.
Sure.
The reality that we can't afford to buy homes independently, so perhaps families will stay together longer. And also the ageing population, as we begin to live longer, and by 2056 we should be up to a median age of somewhere around the mid-80s, it's beginning to make more sense for grandparents or older people to live with extended families. So for all of those reasons, we're going to see those kinds of homes
coming up. We're talking about maybe a 4 or 6 story block that specifically looks after one family. Like, I might walk past and say there's a Mizalowski block, and it's you, yourself, your wife, your kids, perhaps her mum and dad, your mum and dad. Who knows?
Yeah, it could do. I'm not so sure that we're going to get up to a 4 or 5 story building, especially with my family, but we could try. But I think we are going to live in extended homes. So what we might see is the home that we have now on a smaller block, but actually with a bigger footprint. And we're seeing homes now that have this wonderful word of zoning, where each independent unit, so it might be the grandparents or the kids or the mum and dad, each of them kind of have their own little section of that house. Maybe not with their entrance, maybe with their entrance, but they tend to have a bedroom and somewhere to congregate and maybe a kitchen of their own. That's becoming ordinary too.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking as you're explaining this, visually visualising, you know, shared spaces and things, but I suppose we need to consider how we'll go about living in these homes as well, because with technology, it won't be as we know it, will it?
No, it won't. Homes in Australia have traditionally been built around the female. This is a sexist argument, but it is the way that we built. It was very much, the home was a female bastion. Everybody else came and went from it. This was very much true up until the 70s and 80s. What we've found now is that the home is extending out, thankfully. It's becoming a bastion of everybody, the responsibility of everybody to share and care for it. And the work has changed also, where many people now are not in the home the way they were before. They're coming and going from it. We're also looking at changing work styles, where people will work not at home, but from home. They won't necessarily be based in an office, and this is true of the regional area. So they might need that little office space or that nook, which again is very, very popular now in new homes and even renovated homes, to find a little corner with a desk for the laptop or something more elaborate.
So you bring up that good point, isn't it? When will we be in our homes? Because as you've explained on this program before, the old 9-to-5 workday is changing.
It is, and again, if we get into multi-generational, if we get into 9-to-5, we're talking 20 years from now, we're going to see somebody at home pretty much all of the time for some purpose or other. So it's very much going to be somebody at home all of those times doing different things within the home. And the other thing that I'm seeing around the world is that our spaces are actually starting to do multi-purpose. It's been a vogue in Australia the last 20 years to build large-ish rooms, and they might be a dining room or a kitchen or something. Sometimes we can use them for one or more things. But that thing still fits. It has the furniture that's appropriate to that activity and can't be blended. Now, there's some really interesting things happening out of Asia, which has always had smaller dwellings, and seeing how they are being able to manipulate a room into multi-purposes, and also technology that does it.
My guest, Morris Mizalowski, he's a business futurist, and you tune to ABC Far North. My name's Phil Staley. Morris, with the way that our homes and how we live changing, what do you make of the argument that we might end up going out more, say, to eat or to socialise? Can you see that happening, or do you think we'll be going out less?
No, I actually think that we're returning to more of a village atmosphere than we had before. Industrial Revolution, last 100, 150 years, we tended to do a lot at home, and we built homes accordingly. So we had big kitchens, big laundries, big spaces to congregate in. If we follow this path where we have smaller spaces, what we will tend to do, I think, is to follow the Asian and the European philosophy, which is that our home is somewhere where we go to sleep, somewhere where we go for our immediate family, but a lot of the activities we do are done on the street. We go to cafes, we go to restaurants, we do all kinds of things out and about, and that suits our Australian lifestyle.
So we're going to put the phone down and go outside.
Well, we're going to go outside, and we're going to enjoy cooking for the home. I mean, this is kind of having it both ways. We're going to enjoy cooking this in the home. That's definitely still a trend now. But we also, with our smaller spaces, are not going to be able to entertain the way we might want to. So we're going to do a lot more cafes. And we're starting to see those strip shopping centres that have been quiet for many years and not having a purpose, now really becoming small kitchens along the way. Lots of cafes, lots of unique, interesting restaurants, lots of nooks and crannies. And those sorts of things are really part of our future tomorrow. Somewhere we can go downstairs, have a quick bite, and maybe do a lot more grazing than we have in the past.
Mizalowski, I wonder, you pointed to our population growth and its expansion leading towards what you're talking about, but how much also is the housing market and the expense it is for particularly younger people to join that house market and buy a home, is the way it's going sort of steering towards the way of life you're predicting?
It has to, because many people in the future will not be able to afford a house. The average house is going to go up to become about 15 times our average wage. In the past, it's been about 10 years. So it took about 10 years of an average wage to pay for a house. We're going up to 15 years and beyond, and that's an extraordinary amount. We're also now already beginning to change culture. Really in demand of this, that it's not as important to own anymore as it once was. It's really more important to have use of, and that's become a trend now. And if you talk to many economists, they will argue quite strongly, and have for decades, that in fact owning a home from an economic viewpoint is not a great thing to do.
Sure. And what about consumerism? We all like stuff. We like the latest stuff, the gadgets. If the homes are smaller, I mean, how much can we cram into said small space?
I don't think we're going to try. I think what we're going to do is go back to this experience economy now, this crowdsourcing economy, this Airbnb, this Uber type thing with car sharing and the rest of it. In other words, we'll have the basic necessities that we want in our home, but we will be very used to going out and sharing a particular thing that we might want. Lots of technology is already on the horizon and already being used that makes that really easy. And for today's, if we call them Gen X's, Gen Y's and Gen Z's and the A's, those being born literally of 2010 onwards, they're really used to that kind of sharing and not owning philosophy.
Morris, here's a curly one for you. Classes exist. There are the super-duper wealthy at one end and the unfortunate at the other. What will wealthy people's homes look like?
I think it's going to be the extreme that we see now, and it'll be interesting to understand what wealthy is. When my kids went to school, which was about 10 years or so ago, wealthy kids were always seen as somebody that had a staircase, had a second story.
Right.
I mean, that was kind of the definition in their school for some strange reason over the years. Now, I think that we're going to see extremes. Of course, we will have people with a quarter acre block and larger. They will be huge consumers. They will be obvious consumers as well. And they could be considered the rich. But I have this inkling that when we get to 40 or 50 years, apart from those things, I think it's really the experiences people have that will be able to dictate whether they are so-called wealthy or not.
That's interesting.
And by that I mean, have they travelled a lot? You know, do they have access to things? Rather than owning them, do they have the access to have these things?
So the rich person versus, say, the middle-class earner will probably, home-wise, look identical. It's just that the rich person goes to Paris every 3 weeks.
Well, they may well do, absolutely. So I think it will be based more on consumption. Of course, there will always be conspicuous consumption. There will be houses, there will be those Mac mansions that we talked about for decades. That will exist. That's human nature. But I do think it will be around more experience.
And Morris, I'm going to ask you to be a realtor now. What would you say to someone who's listening along now, and maybe they are fortunate enough to own a quarter acre block, or maybe two or three? What would you be doing with them right now?
I would be holding on to them. I mean, I still think the asset of a home is a wonderful thing to do. I don't give financial advice. But I think there's something to be said for the surety of having a roof over your own head, that if it can be, it's paid off, and that allows you then to have a quality of life that some people enjoy by that surety of not having to pay rent. And we also know that the physical asset of a home is only going to increase. If what I'm saying comes to fruition and the quarter acre block becomes more difficult to acquire, then that asset has to go up in value tremendously. So well worth keeping, and if it's at all possible, well worth acquiring between now and then.
Yeah, and I suppose one consideration is if as we age and we go up stories and stories, so there's going to have to be technology to help us commute up and down as well, isn't there?
Well, there is, and we're starting to see those already. So I'm fairly comfortable those will take care of itself. But you're right, we're going to have to do that. We will have to figure out how we live in this future Australia of 2050.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out. I'll talk to you in 2050, shall I? And we can talk about your home.
Well, we can, but hopefully before then as well.
All right. Morris Mizalowski, it's always fascinating talking to you, and we'll do it again in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks so much.
That's Morris Mizalowski. He's a business futurist.